Luke 18 is a fantastic parable that Jesus speaks about. And so this morning, what we're going to be looking at is praying through, not giving up, being persistent. In other words, not being short of breath in our prayer life. Because sometimes we stop short when God wants us to press through. And this is the whole thing this morning regarding our identity in Christ, in prayer, in the Holy Spirit. And it's been great testimony this morning that really fit in well. So let's just read Luke chapter 18. In fact, if you look at verse 37, the last verse of the previous chapter, Jesus says, where Lord, they asked, and he replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. Just keep that in mind, because Jesus was talking about the decay in the culture and kind of referring to the last days. Then in verse 18, it says these words, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? A lot of people think that we pester and we badger God until he gives in. And it's not kind of talking about that. And so what I want to do is bring out things this morning that you may not have heard. But again, looking at the persistence of praying. I realized when I was out mine as a young miner that I began to struggle for air. I began to gasp. I couldn't breathe properly. I remember walking this kind of just over 100 yards to the top of the gate where this kind of fresher air were blowing through, where I could have a bit of a breather. We are always breathing. You this morning will be sat here breathing. You won't have been conscious of that until I've actually said that to you. But we do. This is what we do. We breathe. And you and I only know when we are breathing is when we struggle to breathe. When we can't get our breath, either through an allergy, or if you've climbed up something like Kilimanjaro, or you suffer from asthma. You know that you struggle to breathe. That's when the reality comes in regarding breathing. Here, this is the first verse as Jesus is explaining things. And he's saying, you should always pray and not faint. In other words, don't throw in the towel. In other words, when you've come to the end of your praying, that's usually when you really begin to pray. And so this is what Jesus is driving at. Don't throw in the towel. Don't pack up. Don't get short of breath. Don't stop there. And you and I realize at times that in life, because of the knocks and other things, allergies, asthma, we develop conditions, it affects our breathing. But also there are things in life that knock us spiritually. And that also affects our breathing in prayer. Because sometimes it feels like it's knocked the stuffing out of us. And at times it feels as though God's not answering. We're talking to an answering machine. I don't know if you've ever been there. I'm sure we have. God, where are you? Why are you not answering me? Why are you not breaking through? There's two beautiful principles in this story that we are going to look at this morning. Prayer. I don't know how you've found it. For me, I've loved it. It's really stretched me. It's brought back a lot of memories. It's God being with us in our prayer life and us being with him in prayer life too. So praying is really powerful because it links us to God, the all-powerful one. Nobody ever prayed like Jesus. Nobody ever taught like Jesus. It reminds me of a joke where a pastor had a parrot. And he taught this parrot to talk. And the only thing he could teach this parrot was to say were these words, "Let's pray, let's pray," or "Let's pray, let's pray." I don't know if that's a good parrot, but anyway, you know what I mean. That's the only words that this parrot could say. And he found out in the church that a deacon also had a parrot. And this deacon had been teaching this parrot how to talk. And the only thing that this parrot could say were these words, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." And so they thought, "I'll tell you what, let's put these two parrots together in a cage and we'll see what happens." And so the deacon's parrot said these words, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." And then the pastor's parrot said, "Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers." So there is power in praying. God does answer prayer. We've already heard about this morning. George Muller, years ago, when it seemed as though there wasn't much money around, prayed in millions of pounds to look after children, to look after needy kids. He experienced God in his prayer life, I think, more than a lot of people. And I've been reading again of his prayer life. He was praying for two men at the end of his life, not just one. I know he mentioned one a few months ago. But he was praying for two men. And he'd been praying for these two men for 50 years. And somebody said to him, "George, why do you keep on praying for them?" And this is what he said. He said, "If God had given such a burden, surely it was because he intends to save them." What an answer of faith. That's why God, he says, has laid these people on my heart to pray for. And I will continue to pray. One of these men came to know Christ just before he died, and the other one came to know Christ just after he died. You see, persistent praying, what is it all about? What is Jesus getting at here? Is that prayer does change things, but persistent praying changes me. Because I go into another realm where God is. I've come to the end of my routine prayer, and then I really begin to pray. And God is teaching me to pray. Don't stop. Keep pressing through. Keep persevering, because the once you know me more, then you'll know that I'm changing you. Can you remember the prayer series that we started with, the Lord's Prayer? Remember them three parts? The first part is to declare the majesty and the greatness and the beauty and the power and the love of God. Then we come into them requests, because when we acknowledge his greatness, then somehow our requests and our asking changes. And sometimes we begin to pray more in confidence and more in faith, knowing that he's put them things within us. And at the moment, you might be praying for all kinds of things. I've wrote a list. You might be praying for members of your family. You might be praying about a stubborn habit that you have that needs to go. You might be praying for wisdom regarding your job. You might be praying for a partner. "Lord, show me if you have someone for me." You might be praying for more grace. You might be praying for finance. You might be praying for a friend who's going through difficult times, or even to be more bold and more courageous. And it's not to stop short. This is the whole instruction here, to know what is ours in Christ. I want you to hold on to that this morning more than anything else. To know who we are in him. To know who he says we are in him. Because that makes a massive difference to our prayer life. Jesus, the greatest teacher, is teaching about decay. He's talking about things getting worse. Luke 17, that last verse, that's why I mentioned it. The last days, we've been covering this in our precept study. Wow, totally mind-blowing, very rewarding, and knowing that God's in charge of absolutely everything. His sovereignty is over everything. Look at verse 1 of this parable. Jesus he shows why he's telling us this parable. He's saying, don't give up. Sorry. Look at this for an illustration. I love it. Don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever give up. And this is what he's saying. When it's tough, when things seem dead in the water, when the atmosphere and the air seems thin. In other words, when it's a difficult atmosphere that you're living in, don't just throw in the towel, don't just accept it, but to really pray through those situations. Knowing when things are not good, when things are hard, Jesus here with this parable is saying, don't faint, don't stop. Keep on praying, because I'm a lot bigger than this situation. I'm a lot bigger than what you're going through. I want to teach you great and mighty things. So in this morning, as we're conscious about breathing, our prayer life is to be like that. That we're constantly praying as we constantly breathe. And so prayer becomes an atmosphere. It becomes an abiding. It becomes a relationship. It becomes a walk. Now, I want you to notice regarding this judge that Jesus is referring to. At that time, they were kind of like a Western judge. You know, these sheriffs that went from town to town and from city to city, kind of judging. In Jesus' day, these were exactly the same. They were moving around these judges, kind of like a bit like a sheriff. And what it says about this judge is he didn't care about God and he didn't care about other people. In other words, he was just looking after number one. I just found it really intriguing that he said he didn't care about God and he didn't care about other people. People knew that he could get the job done. Maybe he'd bend the rules or he would accept a bribe, but he was known as the unjust judge. This widow, and a widow were like an orphan, they were in the same bracket in that society, they would be classed as the lowest of the law. They had no protection, she were on her own, she'd had to stand up for herself. She had someone working against her, as we read, she had opposition. And what she was doing is she had to stand on her own because obviously she was a widow. And at that day, just like now, many, many widows are taken advantage of. You know when you see these programs on TV, these false money scams, these pensions where people put thousands into a pension and then somebody runs off with them. Often seen as vulnerable. Workers on properties, you know these hidden cameras that you see and we've got these workers coming and they're bleeding some of these people dry. It's just totally wrong. And this happened right in the days of Jesus. And what she was doing, she knew what she was entitled to. She just wanted the law to work for her. Because she was a widow. She was struggling. She was on her own. She needed some kind of legal aid. She needed protection from the law to work on her behalf because she knew she couldn't do it on her own. And then you'll read in verse 4, even knowing that, the judge was still unwilling. He didn't care about her two hoops. He really wasn't bothered about her at all. Maybe because she couldn't bribe him. And then he said these words, even though I'm not bothered about God and I'm not bothered about other people, this woman is doing my head in. This woman is really getting on my nerves. Everywhere I look, she's there. She's on my case. I can't get away from her. She's badgering me. And then he says these words, so, before she wears me out, which means before she gives me a black eye. Now that don't mean physically, that's not this widow coming and kind of going to knock his block off, so to speak. In that kind of, in that setting, to wear me out is to give him a black eye, means that this woman is going to damage my reputation. Even though he might have done things for bribes and bending the rules, he didn't want everybody to know what he was like. And this woman maybe would kind of exposing him because she never ever got off his case. Why did she never got off his case? Because she knew what she was entitled to. And so she kept going. Whether this judge liked her or not, cared for her or not, she knew that she was entitled to something. And so she kept pressing on, and she kept pressing through. And so this judge says, he don't want everybody to know. And so what I'm going to do is to shut her up. I'm going to give her what she's asking for. I'm going to give her protection. I'm going to give her what she's entitled to. Why? Because maybe she knew what were written. Why on earth is Jesus telling us this? This judge don't picture God. God is totally the opposite to this judge. And then Jesus says in this parable, here, listen to what the judge says. The judge says, I don't fear God, and I'm not bothered about people, but I'm still going to give her what she wants and what she's entitled to. Justice, recompense, protection. And you'll find the contrast here in verse 7, as Jesus says, even to these people who cry out day and night to God, how much more is God going to bring about justice? How much more is God on your side? I love this, because this just kind of shows really what God is like. How much more that God, who is for us, will act on our behalf. He is nothing like this judge. This widow were a stranger to the judge. You and I, we're God's chosen. We're God's children. We have his favor upon our life. How much more will God act for you and I? Isn't this something really special regarding our prayer life? It's not as though we're battling against a judge who is against us. God is for us. And so this would encourage us to pray on and not to stop, not to get short of breath within our praying. I don't know about you, but for me, when I hear people pray, it tells me a lot. And I know that listening to people's prayers, they're changing. They're changing in the house group. They're changing when I hear people. God's at work in us. And he's encouraged us not to throw the towel in. How much more will God act for his own? This widow didn't know the judge. He didn't feel sorry for her. He didn't care for her. He didn't take pity on her. But she knew what was hers. And even though God cares for you and I, he loves you and I, he's the God of compassion, he sees our tears, he knows when we get down, and yet when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's as though we're bringing heaven to earth. He intervenes. It's us knowing him, knowing his promises. God, you've promised this. I know who you are, and God, in a way, I'm going to hold you to your word. And God is committed always to his word. And what I'm saying is, even though God cares for us, and even though God is a God of compassion, and even God, he loves us, he's not that kind of a sugar daddy. It's when you and I kind of know what's entitled to us in Christ. That affects our whole prayer life. It affects the way that we ask. And in this parable, it's not again coming to this unjust judge. We're coming to the God who loves us. We're coming to the God who owns it all. We're coming to the God who delights to answer our prayers. And he changes us as we pray and as we press through into how we ask and to what we're asking for. This is what he's talking. Men ought to pray and to not faint. Never be tempted to stop when we're short of breath. To pray through, to pray on. Don't stop. Don't throw in the towel. The answer's coming. Keep on persevering. Sometimes Jesus would pray all night before even making a decision. So you and I, we've got the righteous judge, the God of all creation with us, is on our side. He cares for us and he's loving. We're chosen of God. God is tied to his word. We know his promises. And she knew what was written. She knew what she were asking for. Just listen to this. Matthew chapter 4. When the enemy's coming in And it says that in Matthew 4 that Jesus was led into the wilderness of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, prayed and fasted for them 40 days. And what he's doing here is he's teaching you and I that even at our lowest point, you and I can defeat the enemy with the power of the word. Why? Because it's written. It's ours. All these promises in Christ are yes and amen. But you and I have to know them. This is why house groups and study and doing life together and praying together and living together under the umbrella of God is so key and so vital. Learning together and growing together. And Jesus in Matthew 4 says these words, "It is written, it is written, it is written." He knew what were his. He knew that victory were his. The written word of God is a very powerful thing. And God speaks to us. Listen to what it says in 1 John. It says, "You young men," not talking about young in age, it's talking about even young in faith. It says, "You young men, you have already overcome the wicked one." Why? Because of the word of God that abides in you. That means it lives in you. It's alive in you. It's part of you. You can quote it. You can speak it. Again, it's written. The word of God that lives and abides in you. Just listen carefully, because sometimes what we think we know, when Scripture explains things, it makes a difference in our boldness and in our praying. It talks about the devil being like a roaring lion, looking to who he may devour. Is that right? Some of us would see the enemy as a roaring lion. Let me just explain these little words, what it says in Peter. The devil goes around like a roaring lion. Doesn't say that he is one. He said he's like one. Do you know why? Because he's not one. But sometimes we get a false picture of things. When we come to Peter again, it talks about submitting to God. God, this is the Lord's prayer. It's you. I'm putting you in first place in my life and in my thinking. It's you. It's your glory, your power, etc., etc. I'm going to submit to you and your lordship and your authority. Amen? Oh, boy, we need to start again. Okay, amen. It's submitting to him, submitting to his authority. Then it says resist the devil. Then it says what? What does it say then? He's on the run. He's running away. That's what the word of God says. So getting and knowing the word of God is so important, because it affects how you and I pray. It affects what we ask for. And this ain't based, again, not on how we feel, how much we get down. It's based upon what God says. What's interesting is this. You'll find, I think it's in Mark 11, and also in the previous chapter, Jesus has encouraged disciples to speak to things. You'll find Jesus, when it says, when you say to this mountain, or in chapter 17, it talks about speaking to a mulberry bush. What's all that about? When you look at it, one of it's to do with forgiveness. The other one is to do with faith. And what Jesus is saying is, I know that when you pray to God, you can tell him things, you can share things with him. But also, the other side of the coin is sometimes it's not just telling our problems to God, it's actually saying to our problems what God says. So then you begin to speak into things. Because, you're using the power of the word of God, especially when it comes to problems and issues, and all these things will affect our praying. Sometimes we have to tell our problems, this is what God says. Speak to the mountain. When you say to this mountain, when you speak to this mulberry bush, again, it's looking at it in its context. And so you and I need to know who we are in God. This is this woman. She knew that she legally, through the law, she could get legal aid. And she needed that. And she needed that protection. And this is you and I agreeing with God about our identity in Christ. Who he says we really are. And I want to encourage you this morning is to see yourself the way that God sees you. Because he loves you and he cares for you etc., etc. It's a kind of a bit of a long list. But prayer not only changes things, but prayer changes me. And it often is life-changing when you and I press on and we don't throw the towel in. I might have said this to you before, but I'm just going to kind of just bring things to a bit of a head and then a bit of a close. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, one of the first scripture verses that God personalized in my life. I can quote it. I still remember the time that God freed me from the fear in my life that dominated me. And this is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I have not given to you a spirit of fear, but I have given to you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God said to me one day, Pete, this is the real you. So get rid of that fear. That fear is not part of you. Because I have given to you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And sometimes I hear people say, but Pete, that wasn't for you. That were written back then, but God does personalize things. That's why, otherwise, none of these promises would mean anything. God really knows how to plant his word within our being. You can remember Peter, the first time he ever met Jesus. They've been out all night fishing. And when they come back, he's a bit down, he's in business. So, you know, when business is not going well, it affects things. And here's Jesus, and he asked Peter to be put out a little bit in his boat, and he speaks a message that hundreds can hear. He's speaking to the masses, but then when Jesus is alone with Peter, the message becomes personal. And he's got a personal message for Peter. Peter, go back out into the deep and throw down your net and you'll catch. He tells him what to do. He tells him where to go. He tells him what's going to happen. Very, very specific, very personal. And it's funny that Jesus calls him master, but then tells him, you don't know what you're talking about, really. You're a joiner. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. This is my business. I've been doing it all my life. And now you're telling me to go into the deep. Jesus knew. And so what I'm getting at is this, is that sometimes a message like this can go all over. It's to a large crowd. But God is speaking to you personally. Just like he did with Peter. And he's speaking his word into his life. In other words, what Jesus said to Peter was totally outside of his box. You want me to do something completely opposite that I've been trained to do. And when God makes it personal to us, he speaks it deep into our life. All the promises are in him, and they are yes and amen. Jesus, as an example, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, Matthew chapter 4, is he taking that out of context? No. He's speaking the very word of God into his situation. This is what the word of God says. He's using the word of God to speak into his situation. This is really powerful stuff because it affects the way that I pray. He knew who he was, and he encourages us in this beautiful chapter, just like this woman, not to stop because we know what we're entitled to. We know what God is giving to us. And what he wants to bless us with regarding prayer. Can you remember a few weeks ago we looked at the will of God? We looked at the specific will of God. We looked at the unconditional will of God. In other words, when we read our Bible, we've got the unconditional God from Genesis to Revelation. That is set. And we're looking at this now in Revelation. Mind-blowing stuff. Honestly, it's fantastic. But then there's the conditional will of God, where some things God is waiting to give us and to bless us and to release us according to our relationship and our prayer life. There are things that he can't wait to bless us with. And we've heard about two of them things this morning. Remember Caleb? Caleb, I spoke on maybe last year, one of my favorite Bible characters. I've learned such a lot. God's taught me such a lot about Caleb and how to live that life of an overcomer, never to give in. And this is Caleb and Joshua with the 10 spies. God's kind of plan and will was to take them into Canaan, a beautiful land to fully have and to fully possess. Kind of a picture of that spirit-filled life. Remember, they were still fighting when they got into Canaan. There's going to be no fighting in heaven. So it kind of, not talking about that. I'm talking about this abundant life in Christ. And here is Caleb, his heart's desire, because he knows the word of God. He knows where God's leading him. And he's saying, come on, folks, let's go, because God has said that that land's ours. And then for the next 40 years, through no fault of his own, he can't get there. He's got to wander for 40 years. I've mentioned before, I don't know how he did that. For 40 years with the enemy having a go. 40 years of, where does he go for fellowship? Etc., etc. Does he fall into spiritual pride? It's not my fault. I'm better than these. There's all kinds of stuff that Caleb went through. But you know something? Because he knew the word of God, and he knew God's promises, and he knew God's power in his life. It was God's power and his grace that sustained him for 40 years. And he came out of the wilderness just as strong as he had been 40 years ago. And he said, give me this mountain. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? I know about the walls and the giants and all these things that are put off all my brethren. But for me, I'm on my way. Letting the word of God speak into our situations and into our life often happens when we stop and we want to throw that towel in. Or I've had enough, or it seems dead in water, it's a waste of time. Just leave it alone, I can't pray anymore. When we begin that next bit, it's powerful. Because we find that in that is a total reliance on God. And it's all to do with our identity. Just listen to these things that we are. We are loved. We are accepted. We are children of God. We are a friend of God. You'll find some of these on the screen. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are united to him. Our bodies are his temple. We belong in his family. He calls us saints. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We're complete. He says we're free in him. We're new creations in Christ. We are chosen and sealed. We are his co-workers. We are seated with him. We have access to God the Father. We know his life and the fruit of the Spirit within our life. He said that we live in stones. We know great and precious promises. We share his nature. We know his presence. We know his wisdom. Oh, my word. Do you know something? If you've got a phone, maybe come up later, take a photograph. Every day for a month, just pray these. Because this is who we are. This is our identity. This is who he says we are in him. And then lastly, look at verse 8. It talks about faith. This is the kind of faith that he's looking for. The last verse, or that verse at verse 8. Will he find faith when he comes? He's talking about these last days, these last times. And then it says, this, what kind of faith? It's the kind of faith that's not going to get short of breath. It's the kind of faith that's going to keep on believing when I don't really understand what he's going to do. It's the kind of faith that is not going to throw the towel in, but a kind of faith that is going to persevere in prayer. And then we look at the blessing that this woman got from a judge who were a bit bent, who accepted bribes. How much more is God for you and I? How much more as his own does he delight to bless us? So folks, this morning it's just a real encouragement is to pray on and to pray through when you want to stop, because that's where all the blessing comes. I'd like us to stand and to sing a final song. We've sung it loads and loads of times. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.